right. Good morning and welcome back to our live show. We've got lots of things to do this Wednesday morning. But I'm just thrilled to have someone who I haven't seen in person for a long while, but he's somebody that I always love seeing. Makes me happy because we've got lots of incredible memories and fun experiences on boats and on islands and with his wife and children, and just the most incredible thing. Knowing somebody who's as fun as this, Stefano Vigoriti. It's very nice to see you, Steph.
Ciao, Gareth.
Nice to see you. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I've just been traveling a lot this year, so it's always nice to sort of get back into South Africa and stay a little bit.
You're my favorite South African Italian, or Italian South African, depending on how you put that together.
I don't even know myself.
It's hard to figure it out, but. If you think you recognize Stefano, you will, because he's been on our show a number of times. We used to do like World Cup soccer stuff. We used to talk about Rome and Italy, and you told me where to stay when I was there last time. And so, I mean, there's no doubt somebody who's going, hang on, I've seen that guy before. So what are you up to at the moment?
Well, I'm still working for MSC Cruises. I think
of course.
I can't say that.
And, we're a great company.
And we are... You know, sort of we're proceeding in South Africa with quite a lot of new things. We have opened a call center for the whole entire English-speaking world. So we are the center of the booking system for our company.
Built that whole thing on the island there for them.
We built the two destinations, Pomene, which you have not seen, and
Portuguese
Island. And we've obviously built also the cruise terminal in Durban in 2021, just in the middle of COVID, or just after it finished. And so we've invested quite a lot in the country, and we have a program of hiring a lot of South Africans onto our ships, and that's still going strong. And overall, we've got our seasonality, what we call it, our winter season, but it's obviously summer season for South Africa, with our ships with home porting in Durban, going to Mozambique, and then out of Cape Town going to Namibia, 4 or 5 months from November right up to April. So, you know, I think we are a pretty familiar sight at the moment in the South African holiday space.
And, definitely,
and it's going good.
But that's not what we were talking about, because as much as you're busy with all of that, you're also it's not like you to just do one thing.
No.
So you told me the other day that you want to talk about, and this came out of left field for me. I know that you've been in the soccer world. I know that you were very involved in water polo. But you said to me, we've got to talk about what's happening in South African water polo. I knew a little bit about this because I know someone who went to Singapore. Just the last few weeks, the South African team apparently didn't go very well.
Not at all.
It must have cost for each of these people a lot of their own money to get there.
That's the problem. That's so, one of the many problems that water polo is facing at the moment in South Africa.
So how did you get involved in water polo South Africa, and what's that all about?
Well, in a nutshell, just going back to your previous guest, I hope you think I'm an authentic person.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're talking
please.
About authenticity, no, which is an important part
you are,
of
you are
of that
one
discussion.
Of the most authentic people I know.
I've known Alan Fritz, which is the chairman of Swimming South Africa, for quite a while. We got introduced when I started, well, with a friend of mine who obviously actually runs the foundation, Aquazzurra Foundation, which is a foundation that really wants to take care of children who are, you know, sort of less fortunate, to make them safe into the water. The idea of starting Aquazzurra Foundation was to make these children
because
who
we
do not
have people drowning in dams and rivers.
We have a huge problem, and that's how I met Alan, and you know, on and off we sort of saw each other for coffee and for lunches, and I always said, you know, what are you doing about water polo? Because really, water polo is nowhere in this country. Ah, yes, you know, but don't worry, we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it, and I think we saw him again. I saw him again in April, just after the Gauteng Invitational, and I said, you know, let's get together. And he says, you know, look, you've always complained about, you know, water polo not being up to standard. Would you be interested in taking over? And I said, what do you mean by taking over? I said, you know, I'll give you the executive director job if you want it, and you can change water polo the way you see it fit, because I like your ideas and all the rest. So I was taken a little bit aback because I had refused to work with the Italian Chamber to take a role there because I was busy with my work. But then I thought, you know, maybe next year I have some time to sort of dedicate. Little did I know that as I got involved, I said, look, it's obviously something that I'd like to do. I think I can do it. But let me see what the real state of water polo is at the moment, because I've been out of water polo for the last 3-4 years, ever since I broke everything, every single bone in my leg, which gave a wedge and sort of put the word end to my soccer and
water polo. It must have been hard, right? I mean, yeah, I know also, how much you loved that
also
stuff.
But when I look at my passport, I say, you know, what the hell are you doing still playing these sports? Getting a little bit old. And obviously I found out a lot of things. And the first thing which I already knew was that South Africa has a phenomenal, fantastic school water polo system. Run yeah. by schools Water Polo South Africa, which is run by Richard Irvine, which was the first person that I wanted to be part of my sort of wise man council, together with Lacey Mintz, which is an American lady who lives in, I think it's in Georgia. I don't want to say it wrong, but I think it is in Georgia, and really, nowhere in the world, I would say nowhere in the world. You can find a school system with water polo as efficient and as successful as the one in South Africa. And that is a testament to, obviously, their good work. I mean, comparing to historical countries like, you know, Hungary, Croatia, Serbia, Italy, Spain, Greece, the stalwarts of water polo, with obviously the Australians and the Americans with the college water polo, obviously very, very strong. But at school level, we...
So what happens between school and the next level?
That's the big problem. It just disappears because there has been the inability of Swim in South Africa to create something that would, bridge those two. You know, you go to university and you have maybe 4 or 5 universities here, Tuks, UCT, Stellies. Mm. I'm forgetting, WITS at one stage was on, UJ at one stage was on, they're no longer, you know, sort of effective with the water polo. So it just disappeared. And at club level, they never really were supported. And it's always been a case of obviously being a summer sport. But I mean, it became so popular. Mm. And we have to say popular in the private schools. So schools that were able to obviously offer a pool and obviously coaches which were fit to not only do swimming but also water polo. Having said that, you know, obviously I saw a lot of problems and I presented to the board of Swim in South Africa my vision, my strategy, and my implementation. They said that I was going to have this job up until Brisbane 2032. So it was an 8-year plan. So we obviously needed to work, you know, proper. And it had to be radical. That radical transformation, it's not what people would think radical transformation is in South Africa at the moment. But we needed to really change the mindset to make sure that whatever we have built at school, although, in my opinion, not with as efficient coaching as it should have been.
Right.
Nevertheless, you know, sort of people were playing the sport.
Even if the schools were doing a pretty reasonable job, which it sounds like they are, certain schools anyway, it should happen to be the case that after school you get even better training and coaching and that you can keep improving.
And you go to the next level.
So what is the state of, do we have a national water polo team? Who manages that? Who funds it? Like the sport in this country, it seems like, you know, individual sports we do really well because someone is a golfer or they're a swimmer or they do some individual sport and they get out there and they manage to make it work. They find some money, some support. They excel. Team sports in this country.
Okay, you got one problem. Let's just take swimming, for example.
Yeah.
how are you going to become a competitive swimmer who can represent your country? You are fighting against the clock. You do not have to be any color, any gender, any race.
Yeah.
That is your aim. And if you reach that goal by clocking a certain amount, you're going to be popular. Teams, different story.
Sure.
And that's where we talk about transformations, and I'm all for transformation. But there hasn't been the way the transformation that people have expected. I obviously clashed with the board when I presented it because I was radical and I said, you know, we have to do all of these things. You know, we have to forget about what we've done. You keep talking about high performance. We are at the bottom of the bottom. A high performance can only come once you have a good selection of players and you have built them up to go to HP. Not that you have to have HP just because it sounds good. And I said, you know, and you need the development. Boy, when I said that word development, they said, ah, but you're always thinking that, you know, Africans or people with previously disadvantaged need development. And I said, you are diminishing the word development to your standards. For me, development is making a player a better player.
Right.
You are saying development, I'm using it to identify somebody who's not good, who's never going to be good, and has just been put aside in development because of certain, you know, facial features, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And right. That was obviously wrong. So I obviously clashed with the board. I was even told things that I won't even say here that I was accused of. And I said, look, you know, it's getting a bit difficult. So the implementation, the strategy was all good, but I couldn't really choose the coaches. I couldn't really choose who I wanted to be on my side because they had to obviously vouch for them, that and veto it. So some people who are these guys that we are, you know, talking about today in the water polo world, or at least the South African world, which is South African water polo, these guys warned me. First, they looked at me and said, oh, this guy's from Swimming South Africa. We don't trust him. And I said, look, I'm here as much as you are. Excuse me. We've been doing masters. We've been, you know, sort of in the same field of coaching and discussions for many, many years. What you want is what I want. And possibly not what Swimming South Africa wants. Because these guys, let's face it, they are attached to their jobs. And it's not so much the chairman who is, you know, who's got his own job and it's a figure, you know, sort of, I don't think he gets any salary or anything like that. But then you have the full structure of Swimming South Africa, which obviously also runs swimming, synchro, diving, and water polo.
But hang on, open water. So if I look it up, if I Google water polo South Africa, then the first one that comes up is water polo South Africa, and then swimming South Africa comes up straight underneath it.
Well, because they've done a good job. Water polo has done a good job of marketing themselves.
Okay, but then if I were a school kid and I'd done really well at water polo at school and I wanted to carry on doing that and I wanted to see whether it could take me to faraway places to be able to compete.
At the end of the day,
what do I do?
It's an amateur's job.
Sure.
I remember who's the guy, the Mohican, the rugby player, the huge guy that used to play for the Bulls. And I know him because I sat next to him and he plays number 5 in the Springboks. Anyway, and also Marco Marx, they all played water polo. But this guy said to me, you know, I was at a crossroads between rugby and water polo. I prefer to play water polo, but where would it get me professionally? Nowhere. That's why I decided to go with the Bulls. And I mean, this huge guy, cannot for the life of me, maybe somebody can help me remind.
But I mean, water polo has got a reputation for being a really tough sport, first of all.
It is a very tough sport.
It's hard as nails.
They say that as far as the Olympics is the second hardest sport after boxing.
Sure.
Boxing.
I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm saying in a good way. Like people take it seriously. And if you do it properly, I mean, it's vicious too. You know,
it has changed quite a lot. But yes, it's very, very physical and it's very, very taxing. I mean, you play 4 chuckers or you know, 4 quarters of 8 minutes stop start, and you'll end up being in the water, you know, treading water for about 55 minutes. It's, it's not something that if you're not well, sort of trained or fit for it, you're not going to sort of last. But having said that, these guys eventually said, you know, you're going to have problems with swimming South Africa because we've all been there before. And I was hopeful. And I said, you know, look, guys, maybe because the fact of I'm Italian and because I've been brought in by the chairman, maybe something is going to happen. And they said to me, okay, you know, we trust you because the vision is the same. But let's see if they allow you to do that. And it wasn't, you know. And then I saw it that they would not allow me to make the transformations or the changes. Because, again, transformation sounds.
So when did you part ways then? Because I imagine you didn't want to give up.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I really hoped that, you know, we could find, you know, sort of common ground. But more than the chairman, who obviously had to stand by its own, you know, board for whatever reason. I saw it in March. I remember I was on the ship and we had this Teams meeting and I said, you know, look, you know, I need to have an answer, yes or no, whether you want me to implement these things. And obviously they put another selector, national selector in front of me, which I said from the word go, I do not want him. He's been forever in the water polo and he's not done water polo justice in this last 20 years. Nothing against the man personally, but it just did not produce what everybody expected to produce out of water polo. So, and then they put a coach, which I didn't choose. So again, you've been given the reins, but you're not making the decisions. You're running Ferrari, but I'm choosing the director of technical director and the driver.
Yeah. So what's the point?
Exactly. So they warned me. The guys from South Africa Water Polo warned me. I obviously engaged with them, trying to find common grounds on which to work together, because I think that was the best solution to go, was to work together. And again, I said to them, I said, you don't really go to run a country if you're not part of the parliament. If you're, you know, if you're a revolutionary and you want to have your revolution, you've got to eventually go into a parliament to be voted in, and then you can run the country. So I was in, and I said, and I hoped, which was a vain hope, to say, you know, let me go in, I'm in, let me try and see if I can get some sense into them. And I didn't. And then obviously you realize a lot of things. I've used many times the word, you work, you know, you play for South Africa. I mean, these guys that you were talking about, these youngsters that they aspire, being an amateur sport, what do you aspire? The most is that you represent your country at the Olympics. And we didn't go to the Olympics in 2024. And for whatever reason, and which was, to me, was a feeble excuse, because they didn't organize themselves well enough to actually have it. Look, let's make no mistakes. Swimming South Africa, as a federation, as a sports federation, is probably the most successful sports federation that there is in this country because of swimming.
Right.
If somebody brings gold medals, make no mistake, it's swimming South Africa does. And we've seen it in Singapore. You know, that you know, Peter Kotze won the 100 meters breaststroke and beat the world record holder, which is the Italian guy, Chacon. So we have the talent, but that talent is being kept looking at the clock. Doesn't matter who you are, okay? And water polo, no, we have to have this, we have to have that, we have to do this, we have to do this. And eventually it is, if you can pay, you can play.
Oh, wow.
It's pay for play. It did not really warrant, you know, the real true phenomenon, because we do have phenomenally good players in this country, okay, which have been overlooked. And where are these guys now after school? They're all in the States, especially the girls.
Yeah.
They're all playing water polo. They've all got bursaries in the States playing college water polo, and they're great. But what do we do? We do not even take in those into consideration because they did not come in for the trials. I mean, how can you
That's
ask
ridiculous.
Somebody who come from the trial? So we had a lot of discussions. We had a lot of, obviously, fights, raising the voices. And I've been told many times, you know, that I lack the the respect of these positions of the CEO and the operational manager and the chairman. And I said, well, but if you do not understand that water polo really needs a radical change, nothing is going to happen because you're going to carry on in your merry way.
So does this mean you have nothing to do with it, but you're worried about it? Or are you going to get back in? I mean, is there a way for you to kind of...
Because
you're passionate.
I know
one thing about you. You would do this for nothing in terms of payment or anything. But if you're passionate about something, you get it done.
Look, I had, when you talk about payment and all the rest, I said, obviously I'll do it because this would be a job. I'm paid, but I'm prepared to bring in the sponsors.
Yeah.
And that is what I think initially
got them excited.
Got them excited about me because I could bring. And remember, being a sport mainly played in private schools, I think water polo has the richest parents in terms of the wealthiest parents in terms of positions of responsibilities into big corporations. And I am sure that they would be ready and willing if there is a proper, sound, valid program. They would get our national teams properly developed. They would put money into it.
So let's just, you mentioned how well some of the swimmers did in Singapore, but what happened to our water polo team? What do you think that was?
I don't want to belittle the teams and the players because obviously they went there with all very good intentions. The coaches as well went with all very good intentions. Very few of those I would have chosen. Very few of those coaches I would have chosen. Be that as it may, it was embarrassing because, first of all, they had very little time to organize themselves. Eventually, it had to be who can manage to pay 70 grand to go to Singapore. And, don't worry, those two or three, we will put the money in. We will pay because obviously they can't afford it. Someone has been accused that being part, and that's the truth. That's unfortunately, you can sugarcoat it any way you want it, but this is the truth. We have a board member of Swim in South Africa who's got her own daughter, in the national team. Okay. Now, conflict of interest?
Well, is she good?
That I'm not even going to comment because it would be unfair on her.
Because and
it
would be, this is the country of nepotism. I mean, how many politicians do we have?
Please step aside. If you want your daughter to really be meaningful in that sport,
let's be evaluated on her merits. Sure,
That we don't know. But this is what was one of the things that obviously was highlighted by South African water polo and obviously, shunted down by, but you're being racist, you're thinking of these things and all the rest. But unfortunately, that's the truth. That is the plain truth. That's what we are seeing.
So I've got a couple of comments here for you. Congo Chris says, the Portuguese island destination is fantastic.
Then back on
Nitaquila says, Stefano is known for many good things, but he is still well remembered for the Take a Tumble ad.
Wow.
Where you were the goalkeeper in the Tumbles ad.
That's
you see, people know
1987.
You. People know
Thank you,
you
very much for
you're
remembering.
You're a massive celebrity, I'm telling you. We live in such a fake plastic world, says Strayer Mate. It's beyond sad, I think. I don't know what that's all about. School polo has been rocked by several scandals in recent years. That's true.
That's another thing that I wanted to address. Unfortunately, the coaching.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of run-ins. South African water polo is run by school teachers.
Yeah.
Which are coaches.
Yeah.
Because they all work in schools. And you can't. I said to them, we had to have professional water polo coaches who will teach and train proper coaching techniques. And I mean, look, we've got some fantastic coaches. But, you cannot pick from a school, your national coach. It's impossible. You have to have somebody who will dedicate, and then it becomes obviously a job. It's a profession because we have the means and we have the human material to have a great water polo team. It's just, unfortunately, the administration and the management has been non-existent. And that is what I've been, you know, I try to sort of change. I've been told, I can't confirm it, that whatever I wrote is now being implemented by somebody else.
Oh.
Which is
ironic. So they listened
ironic,
to you, but they didn't want you to do it.
But which is ironic. obviously, you know, people said to me, but why didn't you copyright it? I said, copyright what?
No, sure.
We're not yet to copyright anything. I mean, it was obviously, it was a collective effort with a lot of coaches. I mean, we had teams meeting. I never really wanted to do this on my own because, you know, to be honest, I didn't really know much about the school water polo because I was never really involved in schools water polo, more, you know, on a club level and on master's level. Given my youth, youthful.
I know. You're younger than you look.
Yeah, I know. And so it has always been a collective effort. And now, apparently, again, I cannot comment and I cannot confirm that, that idea or most of those ideas are now trying to be implemented because we need they were the right things to apply. It's just probably I put the wrong names onto
maybe
the people that I wanted to apply.
But you know, it's a lot of this stuff is people carve out their little province and they want to run it like an autocracy, right?
That's what unfortunately swimming South Africa seems to be.
Alex Ferrari says, water polo needs to break away from swimming South Africa, get a proper sponsor like MSC and develop properly. Issue is that foundation is there, but no building blocks after that. But well done, Stefano, says Alex.
And you know who he works for?
No.
MSC.
Okay.
So he works for the cargo side.
Yeah. Okay, so Chris says, is there any money from SASCOC?
Okay, SASCOC. I've been trying to get hold of what I think it is, the new chairman of SASCOC, which is Barry Hendricks, it is, who's taken over from the Gideon Sams and the other guy.
Again, if we look at what South Africa does well and where we bring our medals back from things like the Olympics, a lot of it is swimming. So swimming and water polo.
That is why.
Need to get a little more attention.
You know, even the minister, you know, blasted at one stage swimming South Africa. Then they apparently had a meeting and they were all friends and, you know, don't worry, everything is fine. So really, we do not know where, in terms of government, they stand. Because at the end of the day, again, like I said, you know, it is one of the most, if not the most successful, together with athletics and maybe, you know, rugby sevens, if we can get a medal here and there. But athletics and swimming are the ones who produce the medals. Mm-hmm. When we talk about water polo, we need to dissect that from the aquatics. And I think that South African Water Polo has been talking to World Aquatics, which is the body that governs all the federations responsible for the national teams. Because, again, one of the biggest stumbling blocks is that you are not going to be part of the national team unless you are associated or capitation with swimming South Africa. So South African Water Polo right now, all they can do is they can lift up the club level and make sure that water polo is played at a much more serious and competitive level.
Right.
They're just starting the first winter series now in Gqeberha. I think it's Friday until Sunday, where they have something like the T20, you know, with franchises, where they put the best players of the country together to obviously create a much more competitive water polo tournament.
Listen, it's a fun sport to watch, and I'd encourage people to go and support it.
Oh yeah, it's a great sport. I've always played soccer and water polo. Soccer has become a business, and you know it. I've been saying that for
yeah,
many years at Super
true.
Sport and with you. Has become a sport, has become a business. So it's not as fun anymore to watch or to play. I mean, to play, yeah, you can still play it because all you need is a ball. Water polo, it's pure sport. It's you've got to love it if you want to do it because you get into that pool and you come out of that pool.
I think you'd still be quite formidable.
I'd probably sit on somebody, but I would probably drown because I don't think I can go up to my neck trying to get up. But anyway, that's part of the past. I enjoyed my time when I was playing in Italy, and I enjoyed my time when I started again playing water polo in Johannesburg with all my mates. I mean, and I've met a lot of nice people. It's a, you know, me not being the drinker of water polo is very much like rugby. I think you know, there's always the afterwards, which is more important with the drinking and everything else. So I was always the one that maybe would have one beer, not the seven, and leave and probably be the designated driver, especially when we went to Masters. But I did call on you because obviously having
you're trying to recruit me for water polo, obviously.
Not quite. I'd be honest with you, not quite. But you know, can you swim?
Yeah, I can swim, but I don't think I'd last very long against any of those guys. And that thing you said earlier about treading water is a real thing. I mean, that's exhausting for almost an hour.
Well,
exhausting.
Look, they say, which is not true, that the goalkeeper's position, which was has always been my position, it's the easiest one because you don't have the contact and everything else.
You don't have to go out into the middle of the
pool. When you start putting pressure and you're getting ready, for the shots, you do work your legs quite a lot.
Hell yeah.
Quite a lot.
All right, but I interrupted you. You said one of the things you wanted to talk to me about.
I can't remember.
That's part
of the aging process, I think.
We could talk about 100,000 different things because we've got lots of stories. I want to ask you, how are the Italians in South Africa doing? Because we've seen communities get smaller and smaller in South Africa, and we've seen people disassociate more. We were talking about with Gavin, like the family is the basic building block. You brought that up afterwards, which I think is so true. And how kind of people are either becoming less connected. They're disintermediating more. You got your friends, you've got your neighborhood, but it's smaller. It's not big.
Much smaller. I mean, look, I was obviously heavily involved with the Italian community up until 2016. Then something happened.
I mean, you and I watched two World Cup finals at the Italian club.
2006, yes. Right. And that one we won.
Yeah.
And after that,
it was the best one.
After that, we didn't really enjoy.
It's dead.
Oh my God! Let's not talk about soccer now.
Especially not Italian soccer.
No.
All right, but what's happened to the Italian community here?
Look, I moved away from the community altogether for things that happened within the, let's call it, the community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can say is that obviously, a club culture, let's say at the Italian clubs or the German club or the Swiss club or the Portuguese clubs, it is something that it's losing its appeal because the new generations are not losing their traditions and their cultures and their heritage, but it's a lot less important.
Yeah.
I
blame the EU, by the way, because they took away what individual nations mean. They made it all about this thing called Europe, which nobody knows
and,
about.
And if you go against it, you'd be called, a sort of
anti-immigrant and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Sovereignist and,
What do you think of Meloni?
I like her.
Yeah, I like her.
But if you like her, you are center right. If you do not like her, you center left.
No, but everyone these days who is not a rabid leftist is now called center right or right wing. I mean, perfectly reasonable positions. Like, a country should have borders. This is now an unreasonable thing for some people.
You have to be very careful on what you say and how you say it, especially from a political perspective, because it's you get branded, you get labeled, and because of social media and because of obviously communications, like everything else in this world, has gone at 10 times the speed. I mean, I joke with my daughter and I say, when you listen to this to your messages, you listen at twice the speed.
Yeah.
And when you speak now, you speak at twice the speed. I mean, everything has gone faster. And the communication, everything has to happen now, because if it happens in 5 minutes, nobody watches a game anymore. My son will not watch a game of soccer with me. He will watch the highlights.
Yeah.
Everything is like
shrunk. And if he does watch it, he's also got his phone out, right? Watching that at the same time.
But now people are watching series and they're playing on the phones and all this. And I'm saying, guys, take it easy, you know, chill, you know, sort of enjoy. If you're watching a game, watch the game. If you're watching a series, watch a series. If you're watching a movie, don't try and do two or three things at the same time. But that is, I think, the demand. It's going faster. But going back to communities, I think, you know, the new generations are very much more integrated with the South African, you know, sort of way of life, that they don't really have time. I mean, we used to have in the past the older men going to the clubs and sitting there playing their cards, discussing about politics and about women and about the soccer, which we're probably the only three subjects that one would talk about, which is probably most people. But they don't gather anymore because you know, it's not there. I think the biggest community, which is still represented in South Africa, is the Portuguese community.
Yeah, the Portuguese have done a good job of it.
They still have about three or four very active clubs.
Yeah.
The Greeks have got a very active club. The Italians have got a very active club. So you have pockets.
Yeah.
But community life and community living, it's really not there. I mean, at the moment, you will agree with me, community living, it means living in an estate.
Sure.
Close by.
And then you know your neighbors maybe a little bit
better.
And
you'll walk around, you'll go to the clubhouse and you'll say hello.
Right.
And, but we are living very much more, unless it is school related.
Mm.
Let's be honest. I think most parents meet their new friends
from their children's friends. Yeah.
And this is really
our
situation. Other than that, your life goes so fast, you know, goes by so fast.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen you in over a year.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
People have questions here for you. Stefano, what do you think of Formula One? Here we go. What is your opinion on Ferrari in Formula One? There's a national crisis next to illegal immigration.
To answer about Ferrari and Formula One is I like MotoGP.
Okay.
I have grown tired of the dullness of Formula One, even though I must say, from a company's perspective, being a company man, we have invested heavily on the Formula One. We are one of the five biggest sponsors of Formula One. The name MSC's cruises is everywhere. And we've also sponsored Alpine because of our good friend Briatore being the head of that team. So we literally having good results in terms of return on image and on branding. So from that point, I'm very happy.
But a lot of sport has become corporatized. I mean, you mentioned it with football. Crazy. You mentioned it now with F1. Here's a very important question. Does Stefano break his spaghetti in half before he puts it in the pot?
Oh, I would not know you, and I would not invite you to my house if you did.
That's from Bitcoin, but I love it. That's a great question. Very important.
No. Unless you're having it with peas and bacon, but that's my mother's recipe. Then you break it not in two, but you break it in four. But that's a different dish altogether.
Very important. What is your thoughts on pineapple and pizza from Viasen?
Oh, my God.
Disgusting, huh?
Disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely unacceptable.
The Hawaiian solution.
All right, then. I listen to every podcast. This podcast is live. By the way, we're going to be changing that soon. Not taking it offline. It's going to be live, but we're going to do one live show a week on a Friday and interviews the rest of the time. So lots of changes coming up. It's very exciting. And then Stefano, some other people saying that this is great what you're doing in water polo because it needs some help.
I'm trying to help the new guys. And as I said, just to finish up on the water polo because I think it is important. I said to the guys of SAWP, Robbie, Duncan, and Luazi, and all those boys, I said, look, I'm available.
Mm.
You know, I'm available if you need an intermediate, a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
If Swimming South Africa is interested, I don't think they're interested in wanting me sort of to act as a go-between. But I definitely do need to stress the fact that they, you know, Swimming South Africa is not going to go away.
Yeah.
And South African water polo, before they sort of take what they think is their rightful place in water polo in South Africa, it'll take time. Now, in between that time, who suffers are the athletes.
Yeah.
We've got Los Angeles 2028, which is around the corner. But people don't think of it, but you need at least 2 or 3 years to build on that.
Is that the amount of time required before getting to the Olympics to get everybody? And that team you need to have in place, you need to have a couple of people in reserve, you need to have good coaches.
We start, I mean, every year there is the World Championships. And you know, that is where South Africa has come with a B division, we came penultimate. With the girls, we came penultimate. We came stone last with the men. Okay. We are not number 16 in the world. We're probably number 23, 24. But because of our presence and our being the biggest squad in Africa, or the best team in Africa, we represent the continent. Now, by representing the continent, we should really, you know, do more than what we've been doing, like, you know, getting the guys at the last moment in April and May, get them to organize and going from all over the show. You guys have to pay to get to the trainings a couple of weeks, and then, you know, sort of, then you have only 10 days to prepare. You can't. It's a team sport. It requires you know, dedication, it requires training, it requires repetition, you know, tactics, which is something that still South African coaches really, you know, they would rather go for the strength and, you know, sort of, I don't want to use the bruteness of it, but it's just, you know, pure strength and aggressiveness. Because for many years, water polo has always been reflecting a rugby in the water.
Yeah.
And that can't be more wrong. The approach can't be more wrong. That, you know, it's a lot of tactics. And it's almost like basketball when really you look at it. It's a set play.
Makes sense.
It's a set play. So it'll take time before this thing is eventually, you know, comes to its rightful end where proper people will manage water polo. I'm available. They know and I'm available.
And you could be really useful, and I'm just saying this because I know you, in terms of getting some money into it, because that's a big problem too. You know, it's not going to get funding from the South African taxpayers. Look, it's not a priority.
I'll give you an example. When I was given this job, I went to speak to Paolo Cavalieri, who headed out Hollard Insurance, because he had a very similar experience in 2006, 2007, when he took over rowing. Now, you will remember that we did win some medals in rowing.
We did very well.
Why? Because the men took over. The men organized themselves by bringing coaches from overseas, had a program. He was left alone to run it, and he produced results after 3 or 4 years, which was great. Okay. So I went to Paul and I said, you know, tell me what you did, because I want to, you know, sort of, I want to sort of do a little bit what you've done. And it was all a question of finding the right motivation, the right people, the right type of money, i.e. sponsors, who would believe and would know that this money would be used
properly
for that.
Right.
And that is what has always stopped the sponsors, the big corporates, to, let's say, make arrangements or make agreements with the federations, because there's always been this sort of shadow of doubt of where this money would end up going. And unfortunately, they don't do themselves any justice, Swimming South Africa, because they have people who are very, very arrogant from a position of strength.
Someone said in the comments just now, there's a lot of ego in South African sport, and I don't think they mean the players.
No.
I think they're talking about administrators, people who've been in the business for a long time, people who think that they're entitled to a position. You know, that kind of thing happens.
Look, it's you go into Swimming South Africa, there has not been one iota of news onto the water polo.
Yeah.
Onto water polo performances in Singapore.
Yeah.
Except when we beat New Zealand.
The last thing on their webpage, just to prove you're right, here is that they talk about the Africa Aquatics team tournament Harare, 10 to 14 April 2025.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's the last we want everybody.
And then rules and programs.
And I said to the guys, and that's where I had a huge problem, because one of the conveners had given his word that we would participate. I said, why are we participating? It's no good for us. It's just money spending. We don't have to go to Harare as much as we would like to play against Zimbabwe.
Sure.
But there's no competition. We're going to go there and win. And what? Then we're going to go and have, we've done well. We've beaten everybody. Yes, we've beaten everybody because there is no competition. Try and beat a team. And again, they made a song and dance about beating New Zealand on penalties. I think it was New Zealand on penalties. Okay. And everywhere else we lost badly and nobody said anything. Okay. So, but then with the swimming, a song and dance. It's unfortunately, it's a situation that we find ourselves in.
What are the positions in water polo? I don't know enough about this. How many people are in the pool?
Seven.
Seven. What are the positions?
Goalkeeper. Well, yeah, in South Africa they've always used the words fetch and carry, which are the wings. Then you got the whole man, which is the one that sort of in the ancient days used to get always the fouls and get the exclusion done. And then you got your fringe players on the side. In today's world, you use numbers from 1 to 6 or from 1 to 5, and then the 6 is the whole man. So it just depends whichever tactics you use. But it is pretty much a set play, and it's become faster and faster because the amount of times that you are allowed to play, just like basketball. I think you've got 24 seconds in basketball. You have now 28 in water polo, with a slight difference that you have to swim 25 meters. Mm. Now, the biggest change in water polo in recent years has been the shortening of the pool.
Why have they done that?
Because it would really the lapse of time between defending and attacking was getting too long.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know.
So for the audience.
Yeah, for the audience and also for the players. I mean,
it's exhausting.
You probably now go 50 meters as before you used to do 25 meters. Now that's a huge difference. And it's a 3, 4, 5 seconds over. Okay. So the setup is much quicker. It has become much quicker. The game there have been some changes, radical changes in the refereeing, which is debatable. But I mean, we're not going to go into that now because
do we have any star players we should be watching in South Africa? Are there people who you think are world class?
Last year, I sort of assisted the Italian team of girls from Rome that came to do the Gauteng Invitational, which they won. And at the end of that tournament, they identified one girl that they wanted to bring back to Italy to play, professionally, because Italian water polo is professional at first and second division level. And unfortunately, the girl did not want to leave her coaching and teaching job. Mm. I think it's in Grahamstown. She stays in Grahamstown now. And she was the best player.
Wow.
I'm not going to name,
but
she was not part of the national side that went to Singapore, because I'm not sure whether she outright refused to, because there has obviously been a refusal of some players to actually go, following obviously whatever happened lately with water polo. So some people out of principle did not want to join the team. Mm. So also Swimming South Africa found itself at a loss in having to find, only certain players, only certain federations, or only certain provinces did present themselves at the trials, which made it easier for them to obviously be picked. But again, it's sad when you see a father spending 70 grand to have his son in a tracksuit with a tote bag that says South Africa with a number, and it's probably a culmination of a career, of an aspiration for that he's had all his life, and now he sees it transported onto his kid. And that kid really goes out there and gets embarrassed because he's out of his depth playing against Italy, against Serbia, against Australia, against the USA. I mean, they got drilled everywhere. And it's but they represented South Africa. He's a Springbok. whatever sure. that means in water polo. You know, he's a Protea or whatever. He's a national player.
But with our schools being as good as they are, we should do better everywhere else as well.
Yes, we should.
So it's clearly at the level of not talent, but at the level of coaching and of administration.
The talent is there. And the first thing that I said is that we must stop think that water polo is a summer sport.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else in the world, you play 12
all
months of
the year.
You've got your elite, call them elite players, must play 12 months of the year. You need to make sure that your pools, your covered pools are used for that purpose. And we are getting more and more indoor pools, which is great because the sport needs to have a 12 months life, especially at club level. School level, I can understand, you know, you play your 6 months of the year because those guys play, you know, different sports in winter. But once you recognize talent, that talent should be nurtured 12 months of the year.
Well, I hope they are all listening, and I'm just glad that there's someone like you who cares enough about this that'll get involved.
Well, I hope, because I've said to James, I hope that you talk to these guys, because obviously after the court case which they won against Swimming South Africa, who, you know, went against them and found themselves again embarrassed by losing, have a discussion with them, because they have the pulse of what water polo really is, as far as clubs are concerned, and as far as you know, really the wishes of the players. And I think they represent the greater majority, whilst the Swimming South Africa is holding on to the bureaucratic structure, and that bureaucratic structure I think needs to have a complete remodel.
I love it. Very nice to see you and spend some time with you again.
Nice to see you.
And we will hopefully get to carry on this conversation at some point. I'm sure it's something that a lot of people want to know the answer to.
I think it's a very niche sport.
But South Africans love two things. We love sport and we like winning. And if this was done better, maybe we would win. And then we'd also be thrilled to watch it and pay attention.
I can tell you right now, and that's my last thought. As far as girls are concerned, we have the true potential to become, in 3, 4, 5 years, maybe not in Los Angeles, but certainly in Brisbane, to be the first state in the world.
Wow.
At girls' level. I what you say, you know, you normally put them on the block.
Sure.
Whatever you put them on the block. I never know, you know, I've worked for Supersport for so long.
I know. You've
worked for Supersport for so long.
Polite.
You can't say any bad words
or
any swear words.
You can speak honestly here. Yeah.
Whilst the boys probably, it's a much tougher competition from the stalwarts of countries in the world. But girls, and it's a true testament and appreciation to a friend of mine, Stanislav Gospodinov. I want to say that because he was the one who started the properly training the girls and coaching the girls, and he did a phenomenal job. And I think because he's not South African, has been overlooked, whilst he should actually be right there on top leading these girls. And I've said that not because he's my friend, not because I think he's a great coach, but I think because he deserves it.
Yeah.
Because the girls deserve somebody good to actually
take them.
It's
amazing how politics finds its way into ruining everything.
Everywhere.
Just ruins everything.
But I love you.
I love you too. And thank you very much, Steph, for coming to spend some time with us this morning. We will be back on Friday morning, 6 a.m. Make sure you don't miss it. Like, subscribe, comment, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff you usually do. We'll see you on Friday.